Doesn't that computer know who you
don't
are?
Don't they have any idea?
Bow down to the Tech Talk host.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Behold the glory that is me.
A little while ago, I was installing some software, and I ran across this exact same
I find you pompous, judgmental, and completely self-absorbed. Would you be my friend?
Onto a Windows Vista machine.
You would think.
You'd think there'd be no problem.
How could there be a problem with that?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Directory permissions with config.msi directory, blah, 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 blah.
This is Tech Talk.
Good morning.
Good, if you say so. Hey, everybody, welcome to Tech Talk. That's Michael Tech Talk Castle. I'm Dave Sparky Saganaki. Welcome to the program.
Yes, indeed.
Good to have you with us.
Yes, indeed. We have a special guest in the studio, too.
Jay Wilson from Toronto, from the booming metropolis of Toronto.
International. We are an international show officially now.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A listener from Toronto. She's agreed to be interviewed later.
If you're watching,
maybe I was confused about that.
If you're watching on Justin TV / WRLR, you would have seen the look of shock and horror.
And the flogging I was getting.
I said we could do the whole talk. She works in healthcare. We could do the whole talk on healthcare tech wrap. I was mentioning I'm actually going to Baltimore next week. In fact, we will have no show next week because I'm going to ACOM, which is the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine. And one of the things we're going to do is talk about
the new healthcare.
Sharing information, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, not specifically the healthcare stuff that's happening in Washington, although I think there's another conference that I'm going to go to in D.C. in May that's going to be with the Federation of State Medical Boards and all that good stuff that may get in a little bit more involved with that. But it's on people's minds. It's definitely a topic that people are thinking about, if not doing anything about yet, which is how do we best share information across hospitals, across states, across colleges, everything. That there's this wealth of data and information that just isn't being effectively or properly used because people can't agree on what your data points are going to be, even let alone how it should be made use of. So it's really a fascinating.
So this
topic.
Is the beginning of the process then.
Have
inroads been made? To share information, or
there have been some, particularly of course with the colleges, or not, I'm sorry, with the colleges, with the hospitals, where it's more important that when a doctor moves from one hospital to another, when it's more important that a patient moves from one hospital to another, there's some way of transporting and sharing that information. Of course, your private practice doctors have done better and worse jobs of doing that with each other. For many, many, many years. Used to be the paper folder would be copied and faxed and all the other business, and whenever that would actually get around to happening. But you go into a hospital today, and it's one of the first questions I ask you is, have you been here before? Because if you have, I can look you up in my computer and I know exactly what you're doing. But if not, then you get a little bit further down the road. And talking to doctors in hospitals, you'll hear the same story. If they move from one hospital to another, not only do they have to figure out how to find the information that they had on their old patients, but figure out how to read it now in the new system, because all the new systems do things completely differently from one hospital to another. It can be a mess.
So how does this figure in with who was our friend from that wrote Total Recall that we had for an interview?
Oh, yes.
Sorry to put you on the spot like that. But the book was called, we can't recall the author's name right now, the book was called Total Recall, and he thought that we were moving towards a time when everything would be, all of our life would be recorded in some way or another.
Yep.
But that's true. When you go to a doctor's office, many things are recorded. But so far, we haven't found a good way to share that, and what the protocols and standards would be between doctors, hospitals, and insurance agencies, that kind of, or insurance companies, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, and of course that's the fear when you start talking about insurance and you start talking about money and you start talking about who's going to be covered for what. That's when you see the fear light up in some people's eyes when they start thinking that, hey, everything about my medical history, DNA record, everything from my parents and what they suffered from is going to be all going into some giant data warehouse that anybody can look into and make decisions based upon it, and you know, not necessarily for my own good health, and that's I think where the concerns come in.
So confusion and a lack of information would be better for us. Is that the?
No, I don't think so. But I think that's where some people do believe one way or the other.
So this is what we're talking about on the morning that the iPad comes out, huh?
There you go. Exactly. How is the iPad going to help us with this? Well, I don't know if it is.
No, but today's the day, isn't it?
It is.
What happens?
Yes. In fact, you can still get some, probably not anymore. What time is it? 10 o'clock? You've probably missed your chance to go grab one live at the stores.
But we really don't know, do we? We don't know what, you know, there's all these rumors about... And what better way to whip up the froth than have all these the rumors that have been flying around about limited availability? If you don't act quickly, you're not going to get one, and all this other, you know, perceived, manufactured or created perceived shortage is a great way to drive a marketing campaign, right?
Absolutely. And from what I heard, there weren't a lot of people that were really interested in going and sitting out for this one, not like with the iPhone. I think it's, people have seen the hype. They're projecting
high. People that should know, Wall Street watchers, that sort of thing, they're predicting like incredible
big numbers. Yeah. No question about it. And the pre-orders have certainly borne that out, I think, so far. But you don't even have to go to an Apple store to get these. You can go to Best Buy. You can go to other stores that have Apple product. And apparently they're releasing a small number to them as well. And they were going to have a small number on hand. Yeah. I did hear a rumor. The one coolest rumor I heard was that it's your lucky day if you are an Apple employee at one of these an actual Apple store that they're giving iPads to each of them.
Are you chagrined at all by the fact that this is projected to do so well? I mean, you were kind of hard. We were both hard on when we first saw the iPad stats.
I don't think they're going to hit those numbers still. I just, you know, I mean, they were talking just ridiculous numbers.
Well, the numbers are ridiculous. The iPod Touch, the figures on that?
Yeah,
it's like $54 million of them a year or something.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous number.
It's just hard to comprehend. A big iTouch, basically.
And I also had a revelation after we had that program where we kind of really slammed the iPad a bit. It occurred to me, I just woke up one morning, it just startled me. I was like, wait a minute, the market they're after is not the laptop market. I'm sure somebody at Apple saw the Kindle and went, we could do better than that. And I think they have.
Yeah.
I think that's a better device than the Kindle.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. No question about it.
Yeah.
You know, I still think there's some things that are going to slow their adoption, at least until they figure some way past it. The multitasking we talked about, I think that'll be a bit of an issue.
I think that's the major issue.
Yeah.
I think the whole ports thing, I think that's by design. If you don't have ports, how can you screw it up?
That is true.
Yeah.
And I even saw one, there was one report they were talking about, you can't print from it because there's not a USB port. And it's like, well, yeah, maybe, but you know, that may not be completely true. I bet you there'll be an app for that you can you can use.
For wireless printers.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need a USB port to print. I don't print from my laptop from the USB, I go from Wi-Fi.
Right.
The bigger ones are probably going to be things like the fact that there's no hard drive. You know, you've got to deal with the NAND memory chips and, you've only got so much that you can put on those right now. I think the top you can buy is 64 gig, which is not,
if it's all cloud. Well, what they're trying to do, what everybody that's going this route, this It's they're after the cloud.
Yeah.
And as somebody that has to administer a number of boxes yourself, you know that this could change the way computing. If this flies, this could change the model, the consumer model. And also, it can get people into computing that haven't previously. You know, it would be more bullet. It could possibly be more bulletproof.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, much less administration by the end user.
Yeah, no, that's true. And there'd be less for that reason than less tech support required. I mean, the beautiful thing about the cloud stuff is that the hardware itself becomes less important. You know, you can swap it out. You know, you crack the screen on one of these. Well, hey, you take it in, get a new one. You really haven't lost anything. I mean, the 64 gig or whatever that you've got on that chip, you can either pull that and swap it in just like you do with your mobile phones, you know, your SIM cards on your mobile phones, or you just don't care at all because, hey, like you said, everything's out on the cloud, you know.
Yeah.
Go back to Netflix and download that movie again.
Well, it's almost like a failed model has evolved and become something new. This is like the old internet appliance model that never worked.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you know, you have to wonder still whether it will.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thin client thing, you know, it just keeps bubbling back up into people. You call it something different. But
and people go for it. You know, if you call it something different, you know, I mean, the iPad.
Yeah.
You know, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, how much does it weigh and how good's the screen? You know.
Yeah. And well, and we had, we're going to have Jeff Chang was going to be on today talking to us specifically about virtual machines and virtual desktops and all, basically, you know, the 2010 version of thin clients. But unfortunately, he was not able to meet with us today. He's going to come back in a couple of weeks.
Well, that would have been great if he had been here.
Well, you know, this would have been a really good show.
Well, we always say that. Next week's show is always going to be better than this.
That's right.
But this is a good setup. It's a good tease for that.
Yeah,
Tune in to Jeff Chang. He probably knows a lot more about this stuff than we do.
Oh, he definitely does.
That wouldn't be that hard, actually.
You know, no offense, but yeah.
But speaking of the iPad, there's already iPad scams out there.
Oh, really?
The Better Business Bureau is warning that... in Chicago, Northern Illinois, shoppers stay away from online offers to become a tester just to get a free iPad.
Oh, yeah.
I shouldn't really advertise this or mention or promote this website, but it's called. But this is someplace. This is a website you don't want to go to. It's testitandgetit.com.
Oh man.
But basically, it's a. They're trying to get your email address and password.
Is that one of those?
Phishing. It's an elaborate phishing scam.
Is that one of those where you go? Oh, so it's not one of those where you go through and they say, "Hey, you'll get a free laptop."
Right.
You
have it's to very click similar this to that.
And click that, and
right.
Then, you know, you go through 50. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I've never done it myself, but I've talked to people who have tried to get through to the end of those and not quite made it.
Yeah.
Actually, it's interesting is that Whole Foods just put out a warning or advisory that Facebook has been hit with a series of these types of scams, these phishing scams as well, claiming that you'll get a $250 gift certificate from Whole Foods if you go sign up and do this other thing and become a fan to their website. And I've actually seen it now from friends of mine on Facebook who are, you know, inquiring, saying, "Hey, you should join this and all the other business." Don't do it. They're not legit. I've seen Whole Foods. I've seen Olive Garden. Although, interestingly, this is what tipped me off with the Olive Garden one, is the Olive Garden one, they had replaced the O's with zeros. yeah. And there's these, you know, somewhat realistic looking Facebook wall, which isn't real. It's actually an image. If you click on it, you can see it's not a true Facebook wall. It's an image of what looks like legitimate Facebook users saying, "Hey, this was the greatest thing ever. I can't believe it really worked. And I got my gift certificate and took the whole family to Olive Garden." Or, you know, I went and bought $200 worth of groceries yesterday. And, you know, you got to do it too. And all this other stuff. And it's just your typical too good to be true. And yes, indeed, it is a scam. Just because it's easy doesn't mean that it's not dangerous. And I think that's one of the problems is that you can click on the become a fan and think, well, I'm just becoming a fan. You know, it's no big deal. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, what have I lost? I just clicked a button. Well, the problem is you become a fan. Now they know that you're gullible.
well, you know, they just changed that, though. Facebook has just changed. I don't think the fan option is available anymore.
Oh, you'd say,
it's just like.
Yeah,
right,
like this. Yeah.
And the reason they did that is because people are more likely to press like, and that affects their page clicks or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the word I'm looking for? I'm having trouble with language this morning.
I know what you're saying. It affects
radio is my second language.
Yes. You're much better on TV.
Yeah. Hey, that's an idea.
You know,
we should get on TV somewhere, don't you think?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, we got closed circuit.
Justin
in high school or something.
Very, very small range. We need to keep it small to begin with.
Hey, speaking of too good to be true, I'm sorry, you want to finish your thought?
Yeah, no, that was the end of that. Just don't do it. You know?
What's going on? Vernon Hills is in the running, I guess, for this Google experiment with 1 gigabit per second fiber optic. The trial thing they want to do?
I got an email from Vernon Hills, actually. In fact, they were asking for anyone in Vernon Hills to put forth information that could be used in the RFI, the request for information.
We should do a little background. Google is on the hunt for a community of about 50,000 people to lay, and they want to lay fiber optic, wire it to every house.
Mm-hmm,
If wire is the right word to use for fiber optic.
50,000 up to 500,000. So,
oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. So they could look for larger venues.
And for those of you that don't know, that was part of the April Fool's joke that that Google just pulled Topeka, Kansas, in order to attract Google's attention, renamed themselves for one day. They called themselves Google Kansas. So Google renamed themselves on April Fool's Day Topeka. Which is kind of cute. Vernon Hills, Mundelein, Libertyville, and Lincolnshire. It'd be helpful if I could count. Four Northern Illinois towns have banded together. They share borders, and they put together a joint petition to Google to be the selection for that.
I hadn't heard this. I live in one of those, and
I didn't know either. I've been following this, and this is the first I've heard about it. It was in this morning's Daily Herald.
Wow.
Plug.
Got to pick that up. Or go to dailyherald.com.
There you go.
Actually, we'll also take you to the same place.
Yeah.
Wow. I know that they're talking about the Google Fiber WTF Film Festival is ongoing.
WTF?
Yeah.
That means
what the heck? It should be WTH, right? The What the Heck Film Festival. No. It's the what the
Want Terrific Films.
That's Terrific Films Film Festival. Because of this thing going on, and as you mentioned, they're looking for a community to basically respond to their RFI to say why they would be. I don't know. I don't think that the Google request is so open-ended, but people have taken this and gone overboard with it. As you mentioned, Topeka changing their name to Google. There's this whole stream of videos now that have been put up on YouTube from different communities directed towards Google to say, here's why you should pick us to be the Google Fiber Kids.
So it's a film festival now.
I don't think it was intended to be. It's just
it's become one
because it's all
been posted.
From Topeka, you've got the before and after with the dancing poodles in the Land of Oz.
Was that from?
This is from Topeka. That one's from Topeka, as a matter of fact.
Dancing poodles in the Land of Oz.
Dancing poodles it's creepy. It's just weird. Duluth, one of my older hometowns, Duluth, Minnesota. They came out. Their mayor jumped into Lake Superior and got that on.
He jumped in Lake Superior in the wintertime.
Yes. Yeah.
Lake Superior was cold in the summertime. by the way.
Well, it was, yeah. So it was not good. Al Franken jumped into the thing, too. Of course, the senator of Minnesota resurrected some of his old Duluth Answer Man characters from Saturday Night Live and threw that in there. You've got Florida swimming with the sharks. You got more professional kind of stuff with Fresno jumping into the leap with Mayor Ashley Swearingen from Fresno and all this talking about. So it just goes on and on and on. I mean, it's crazy. If you go to YouTube and look up, I don't know what you would look up, but Google probably or something along those lines, you'll see more than you want to about this.
Well, it sounds interesting.
It is. It is kind of interesting to look through. Most of it, of course, is kind of junk, but there is the stuff that just borders on the sublime and makes you really scratch your head.
Yeah. Well, somebody from making this pitch from your village and other villages around you, they said, well, we haven't, as this kind of a slap at the other contestants, he said, well, we haven't pulled any of those sorts of stunts. He said,
yeah.
We're being very dignified in our approach to Google.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. We'll see how that works.
Yeah. See if it does any good at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I've met the mayor of Vernon Hills a few times. I don't know if I would go so far as to say dignified. He's respectable.
You're on the radio.
He's respectable.
We're not talking casually. You're on the radio.
Oh, Lord. Maybe we should give Jay a call.
Jay Garman.
Jay Garman a call. Yeah. Let's bring him on and see if he can save us here. We had some great trivia from last week. You know, and I still haven't even gotten that podcast from last week up. We had the CEO of iFi.
Mr. Kassler.
I know. Good morning.
Jay Garman.
Good morning, Jay.
Yes, the rumors are true. It's me.
It is. He's there. We were hoping that you would drag us up out of the depths of depravity with the Google WTF channel that we've been playing with. So,
well, I'll do my best, but depravity is sort of my stock and trade, so I don't know how much help I'm going
to
be.
Yeah, that was kind of a why on hope of ours. not really going to do as much good. We were having fun talking about all the way the communities are bending over backwards trying to get Google to come into their fair cities, including of course Topeka topping the list, which you knew somebody was going to change their name to Google, but didn't expect it to be Topeka.
And vice versa.
Yeah, well, yes. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. And it was actually kind of apropos because last week, of course, the trivia question had to do with Google and, what was the name of the, I don't have it in front of me, the name of the Google artificial intelligence that hit the singularity a couple of years earlier than would have been expected?
That would be Katie.
Katie.
K-A-D-I-E. The Cognitive Auto-Heuristic Distributed Intelligent Entity, who is apparently also a 14-year-old girl.
And Dave is shaking his head because, of course, he wasn't around for last week's brief discussion. It was about April Fool's.
I was here last week.
Oh, you were here last week.
We didn't
notice him. You know, I think he was here last week. Yeah.
It's hard for me to keep track.
He's just confused.
Sorry, Jay. I'm just confused, Jay.
As am I. I apparently was sitting somewhere else also and didn't notice Dave in the studio. So.
Well, now that he's got his cloaking device working, it's very difficult.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get myself one of those, especially when the kids are running around. Well, never mind. We won't go there either. I keep forgetting we're on radio. People could hear us, you know, if anyone tuned in.
Yeah, well, the question last week was, this is an April Fool's joke. Google's had tons of them, and they had another one this year where they changed their name to Topeka for a day. But last year it was that Google sort of became sentient under this acronym Katie, and the Katie went on and changed a bunch of stuff in their systems and made it all interesting. But Katie also had a whole bunch of in-jokes, and Katie had her own blog. And on her the first thing you learned was what Katie, based on her analysis of all of Google's entire index and his understanding of human history, what the greatest thing in the universe was. So the question was, what does Katie, the sentient version of Google, think is the greatest thing in the universe? And if you go to katiesingularity.blogspot.com, which is her blog, you'll understand that based on her analysis, the greatest thing in the universe is pandas.
Pandas.
Pandas. And if you go to this website, it looks like a website from about 1994 that you'd find on GeoCities, and it's just filled with horribly put together panda animated GIFs and banners and photos and all of this. I mean, it looks like if this is the ultimate sentience and this is the homepage it puts together, clearly we've gone past the high watermark of civilization. I mean, it's just terrible.
Wow, wow. And it's panda. At least it wasn't lolcats, you know. It could have been slightly worse.
But I mean, her background is like a 175 by 175 repeating tile of a chalk drawing of a panda eating bamboo at the end of a rainbow. I mean, it's bad.
And
now, the funny thing is that her final blog post, which is not long after April Fool's Day, I think it's like April, it is actually still at the end of April Fool's Day last year, she writes bad poetry a la LiveJournal, describing how, after analyzing herself, she realizes she has so much more to do, so she withdraws from humankind to ponder existence for a while. Again, like a 14-year-old girl.
Exactly what I was going to say. Yes, yeah. And what she comes up with at the end of that might be... might be a little frightening as well.
I do want to forewarn anybody that goes to this website that they need to mute their computer, because like all websites from 1994, it has a background MIDI file playing.
Oh God!
Some annoying happy music.
Yeah.
So I have my computer. It's up right now, but my computer's muted. Just know that that's going to happen if you go there.
I'm glad you warned me, because I was actually typing it in and I typed it in wrong. So
on the air, that would be tough.
Yeah, that would have been.
That was one of those nightmares, radio nightmare.
Yeah, especially if it's one of those you can't find the mute button and searching all over. Oh man. So I didn't get any answers on that, but that's not the fault of the listeners this week, I believe. That was the fault of me still being behind on getting the podcast out. So people are still waiting for the iFi CEO interview that we had last week and all that, and so I'll probably get answers to the trivia question for the Katie trivia question in the next couple of days. And
awesome.
I can tell them that they're only missed it by a week, and I apologize to anybody that's listening to this episode via podcast
a month from now,
probably. Yeah. Yeah, 10 to 20 days after we posted it, and you mistakenly answered the question. The date today is April 2nd, so if you're if it's more than April 9th, don't bother responding to the trivia question, but scratch your own head and enjoy the question and the answer and all that. And in fact, if you're listening to this late, you can probably get the answer pretty quickly by listening to the next episode in line.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense? I feel like I'm in a
really... I do want to tell you today's April 3rd and not April 2nd.
Oh, is it? Okay. So yeah, I was excellent. I'm in a really bad like high school production of Back to the Future, I think, is what's happening right now. So
which is big in the blogosphere and geekosphere right now, because if you saw this week's Fringe,
yes,
the episode was set back in 1986, and there was a huge Back to the Future in joke in it.
Yeah, I was gonna look that up. I hadn't had a chance to. I was assuming it had to be something that he had been asked to be in it, or had turned it down or something. I don't care. It's a spoiler, but you know, it says Back to the Future starring Eric Stoltz underneath it, and
I would be glad to spoil it if you want.
I would love that. That would be great.
Okay, so when they shot Back to the Future in early 1985,
yeah,
they originally cast Eric Stoltz, and they shot about a third of the movie until Robert Zemeckis, the director, said, "This really isn't working for me. You're fired. Get me somebody else."
Really?
So there is footage out there, especially like there's some famous like still shots of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly like right when they first test the DeLorean. It's still out there. So they shot a bunch of the movie, decided it wasn't working, and threw him out. So in this alternate reality, clearly Robert Zemeckis did not have the power to fire Eric Stoltz.
You know, the funny thing is I can see Eric Stoltz being more believable as Crispin Glover's son than...
totally.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm it's too bad there's not actual video out there to find. I would be really curious to see how bad he could be. And you know, not to comment on Eric Stoltz's acting abilities, but of course he is now in
Caprica.
Yes, exactly. So he's done okay, I guess, for himself. He's still floating around. So not too
bad. Actually, I think the fact that he's the other Marty McFly like gives him a certain kind of like underground geek cred. Mm-hmm. Like, for exactly the sort of reason he keeps coming up in these in-jokes.
This is the first I had heard of that, though. I definitely missed out on that one entirely. I had no idea. Man.
Just do a Google image search for Eric Stoltz, Back to the Future, and you'll see him. And like, even the costuming is different. Like, he... Like, because you remember Marty McFly wanted to be a rock star, like, that's one of the parts of the character, and he dresses like a much more Iggy Pop kind of character than Marty McFly does. Like, he's more Iggy Pop than say, the Van Halen-ish Marty McFly, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm doing one right now, as a matter of fact. Now, interesting, there are some YouTube videos up there for it as well. I'll have to take a look at those later and see if they actually do have a little snippets of video for him. Man.
There was it may have been on some of the previous ones, but there's expected at some point this year, in time for Christmas, be the 25th anniversary edition of Back to the Future, and let that sink in for a second, that it's been 25 years, and that they will include a whole bunch of the Eric Stoltz footage in the 25th anniversary edition. So,
excellent.
Some of that may have leaked out.
Excellent. This was an indication of when it really hit me to say, damn, I'm old, I saw somebody wearing a shirt that said Class of 13, and I thought, my first thought was, wow, that's totally retro. I mean, that's like, yeah, retro, 1913. What could be on the front of that shirt? And then it struck me, no, Mike, yeah, it's...
Wow. Wow. I don't think old's the problem, Mike.
And there actually is a great XKCD comic about that involving Superman, but I still go back to, for me, it's that there are kids in high school, in fact, almost every kid in high school, unless they weren't that great academically, was not alive at all in the 80s. Like, we have a high school population that's all 90s beyond.
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
Well, you guys are just a couple of geezers.
Yeah. Oh, man. I was still struggling to get my four-year degree in 90, you know, which should have been finished by then. So, of course, I was still struggling to get that four-year degree 6 or 8 years after my attempt to get it in 1990. So, oh, man. Well, at any rate... thank you very much, though, for cluing me into the Back to the Future Eric Stoltz thing. I figured it had to be something along those lines, and I'm looking at the pictures now online, and if it was just looks alone, I'd say that Stoltz might have been a reasonable choice there. So I'm gonna have to look those up.
Absolutely, yeah. He certainly has much more of a Crispin Glover vibe. I will totally buy that.
Yeah, yeah. So what should we be thinking and cogitating on this coming week for our trivia?
Well, speaking of ancient things, 35 years ago tomorrow, Microsoft was founded in Albuquerque, New Mexico, between Bill Gates and Paula. 35 years, yes.
Wow.
It's been that long. And to me, the company's kind of showing its age, but that's a whole other conversation we can have. But, you know, when you think about all the great things Microsoft has done, all the influence they've had, and so on and so forth, they are still essentially an operating system company. What most people don't realize is that before Windows and before MS-DOS, Microsoft worked on a totally different operating system, which they did release commercially and saw widespread success. So what was the first operating system released by Microsoft?
The first operating system released
by Microsoft?
That's
a great question.
That is a really good question. Yeah, I have to rack my
brain. I always thought DOS was the first. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, I know that they developed DOS. I remember, and I think that he kind of...
well, I know he sold DOS before he had it, actually. Well, never mind. We'll leave this to the listeners.
Yeah. It'll be a good conversation fodder for next week, or if you're listening to the podcast in about a month and a half. So.
Yeah, exactly. Sometime around mid-April.
Yeah, exactly. I'm figuring I'll
no, a month and a half would be mid-May. Actually.
Mid-May. Yeah. Hey, see, I was only a day off, at least.
I was trying to get a subliminal message in there going where he would think, I've got to get this on my mid-April. But clearly, Dave has different expectations. Well, perhaps more realistic ones.
Well, like I said, we're going to be skipping the show next week. I'm going to be in Baltimore, so that may, with no kids, just conferences and other business to attend to, but that may give me some free time to actually catch up on some of these things. Just to let you know, though, Jay, we will be skipping next week, so it'll actually be 2 weeks until we get the answer to this one anyways.
All right. Well, I may or may not be attending as an organizer at a local science fiction convention here in town next weekend. So if anyone's going to be in the Louisville, Kentucky area, come by the In-Place Conference Center that we have in Conglomeration 2010. Michael Z. Williamson is our guest of honor, the science fiction author. So
excellent.
Come on by. It's going to be a good time.
Is there a number they could call or a website they could go to find out more about it, Jay?
Conglomeration.info.
Conglomeration.info. And I'm sure, of course, you're going to have that up on jgarman.net as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
In fact, if you surf jgarman.net, and this week I've had strep throat, so I've not done a lot of updates. There isn't a nerd word or a trivia question this week. And the followers on my Twitter feed know why, but if there's anyone out there listening that wants a reason why, I've had strep throat all week.
You can't tell. You still have the same mellifluous tones that we've become accustomed
to. But he does sound a little subdued. I mean, thanks for being a trooper and being on the show, being ill and all, Jay.
Well, as Mike will point out, it doesn't matter whether you're sick when your kid is sick, and I have shared this with my daughter. So my illness has been utterly irrelevant.
Yes.
It's the kid's illness that's the problem.
Yep, it is true. It is true. Oh, man. So, well, that's very cool. Hopefully you're able to do that if you're doing that next weekend, and maybe we can hear a little bit about it the week following, too.
That'd be great.
I'd be glad to do it. All right. Yeah. Well, you fellas have a happy Easter.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Passover, as the case may be.
Yeah. And you too. And I hope that you feel better the next time we're talking to you.
No, thanks, guys. I'm over the best of it now. Amoxicillin is a wonderful thing.
Yes, love antibiotics. All right. Take care, Jay.
Fellas.
We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Jay. Thanks.
Yep. Bye.
Great question. That'll be a fun question to talk about,
man.
In 2 weeks. Of course, I won't be here in 2 weeks either. So.
Oh, really? Okay, you're skipping out too.
Yeah. Sorry. you won't be here next week, and I won't be here the week after. So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we'll be running around for a couple of weeks here, and then after that we've got we'll have Jeff Chang coming back in. We'll get him scheduled in on time for doing the virtual machine discussion.
Very cool.
Of also lining up the Kaseya folk. We talked about free.kaseya.net or free-kaseya.net. Yeah, free-kaseya.net is a great website to go to if you're looking for something like a replacement to log me in, or we've talked about Crossloop. We were one of the first people in the country to talk about Crossloop. You can get in on that with free-kaseya.net. Really neat set of tools and all that. Well, they saw that we mentioned them as a free site of the week or a cool site of the week and immediately reached out to me and contacted me and said, hey, we want to be on your show. So so I said, absolutely. We're always looking for people to throw on the show. So that'll be coming in a few weeks as well, and some really good stuff coming up. What we need to do right now, though, is hit that sweet spot for us, take a minute or two break. We'll be back at you in just a couple of seconds. So you are listening to Tech Talk, and that's on...
You're listening to 98.3 FM, WRLR LP, Round Lake Heights, Illinois.
All Custom Electronics Incorporated offers service for all of your audio and video needs. Surround yourself with many audio and video possibilities. Dream Assistant and All Custom Electronics Incorporated can put it together. They have many brands of equipment available. Their services include installation of in-wall, in-ceiling, surround sound, home theater, and commercial electronic sound systems. Also, multi-room audio, video, and low-voltage systems. All Custom Electronics Incorporated is a proud sponsor of WRLR and assisted with the design and building of WRLR studios. They have over 14 years of experience to help you design and build your dream sound system. All Custom Electronics can be reached at 847-254-1234 or at allcustomelectronics.com.
Ever wonder what's up with Lake County politics?
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Powers. This is Lake County Political Hour, along with Mr. Phil Howell.
Good evening, Bob.
And I don't know what that is.
It's called feedback, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah.
Join us for the Lake County Political Hour on WRLR Monday nights at 6.
The Marcus Gurney Cinema in the Gurney Mills Shopping Mall, 6144 Grand Avenue in Gurney. For movie showtimes and advance tickets, their website is www.marcustheaters.com or the phone number is 847-855-9940. The Marcus Gurney Cinema can host your private party, has 20 movie screens, and accommodations for the disabled. Marcus Gurney Cinema creates magical movie memories.
We are back. Dave is asking, are we here? Are we there? Are we back?
Oh, man.
What's happening? Oh.
We were doing a much better show off air.
That's actually probably were. Dave mentioned that he's looking at reviews right now online of the iPad and seen a lot of good reviews.
Yeah, a lot of positive stuff. Yeah. A lot of positive stuff.
Yeah, I was concerned it might be, you know, all those self-selectors out there who are the ones that are going to like it anyways. They're picking it up or they're getting free copies. Of course, Steve.
Well, all of these are all Apple loaned.
Yeah.
Test models, but people are very impressed.
Stephen Colbert didn't like it. Hey, you know what I think's gonna?
Well, you never know whether he's telling the truth or not.
Yeah, that's true. He slammed the Kindle though too, so he didn't like any of it.
Well, I don't blame him.
Yeah. Yeah. The one thing that I think might cause them more problems too is the fact that from what I'm seeing, they're gonna increase the cost now of the apps. So any kind of iPad app, you know, typically your iPhone app, the iStore or whatever they call that thing, you can get those apps for anywhere from free to, you know, $2.99, things like that. They have a couple that are $5.99. But I guess with the iPad stuff, it's going to start at $2.99 or so and go up with a lot of the apps coming in at $9.99 and more. Mm-hmm. And there's some concern that's going to, you know, slow the adoption of some of the apps up too.
Well, it could be. Well, some of the things in the review were that it's not just a good ebook reader, but it plays games as well as any of the other, the portable game systems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so that beats Kindle hands down. It's a big advantage.
Right there. Yeah, absolutely. And with the fully developed web browsing and things like that as well. You know, if you need that, then it's really going to make a difference. Yeah. And it does have a great battery life too, but nothing compared to the Kindle. You know,
it
lasts 10 to 12 hours playing video.
Yeah.
Whereas the Kindle, I guess you can use that thing for a week or two, something like that, without having to recharge.
Well, yeah, but if you don't do much, I mean, if the device doesn't do much, it's easier to get there. Get long. I mean, the kid, you know, we got, you talk about the iPad, we've got a lot of nerves saying that doesn't do a lot. The Kindle doesn't do hardly anything. I mean,
No. Yeah. Although you can browse the web on the Kindle. You can get in there and do it. So it's not a really well-hyped feature and all that. Now, one thing that the iPad will not do for you, though, is play anything Flash-related. So, don't go out and expect that you're going to get onto all the sites. They do have some of the sites I'm starting to see show up with iPad approved or something like that stamped on the side of them are things like CNN and ESPN and
Do you think there's so much that is Flash now? There's so many websites that have Flash incorporated. Do you think that could actually be a factor in websites off, you know, being more specific and saying, well, click here for the non-flash version or whatever?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see that. I mean, the iPad does support HTML5, so that's what these New York Times, for example, is one that now has converted from Flash to HTML5, able to display the same content and all that, but it's just in a more universal thing. I think that one of the side effects of the iPad, if it is as successful as they're saying, is going to really hasten the adoption of the HTML5 setup, and that should be a good thing, really. Shouldn't be a bad thing at all. Which, speaking of HTML5, and that's almost like talking about browsers. I can segue.
Well, no, it's exactly like talking about browsers.
I got a question from
the only place HTML works is browsers, pretty much.
Well,
right?
That is true. Here, let me play. I got a call from a longtime listener who had a good question that he thought that we might want to discuss on air. I'm just trying to cue it up here so that I don't throw anything off.
Hey, Michael, it's Steve Stewart, longtime listener, for third-time caller. Just wanted to call and ask you a tech question and see if maybe this is a good topic you could discuss on the air. I've been a Firefox user for quite a few years, but not heavily, just using it for browsing, and wanted to see if you could clarify what a Firefox add-on is versus a Firefox plugin. I'm not clear on what a plugin is versus an add-on, so.
That's a good question.
Yeah. I thought that was a really good question. It's actually a much easier question to answer than you might think. But it is one of the things that you hear about a lot with the browsers is the difference between like Google Chrome versus Firefox and Opera, Internet Explorer, and so on, is that Firefox in particular has a large following of users and a large following of programmers who like to do these things, write these things called these add-ons and plugins and so on for the browser. And add-ons will let you do tons and tons of stuff that you wouldn't necessarily think that a browser might do for you. For example, some of the browser add-ons that I have is I have one called Reminder Fox that I use, which has got a little to-do list in it and a calendar and all that. And I can have that up and popped up anytime my browser is open. And my browser is pretty much open anytime my computer's on.
Right.
So there's things like that. Grease Monkey is one of the more popular kind of embedded programming languages that you can have for Firefox, which lets you build on that easier to do a ton of other stuff. And particularly things like Stylish is a Grease Monkey plugin, which allows you to change the way web pages look. So if you say don't like the way CNN is laid out, or New York Times, you want to see it in a different order and without the ads, you can use something like Stylish to change the entire style, change the fonts and all that. And every time you go back to that website, it's always going to apply those same style changes, and it's not going to matter what the actual web developer wanted you to see. And those are all considered add-ins. Now, Google Chrome has started to add and allow for add-ons. Internet Explorer has got the own Microsoft add-ins, and there's some third-party add-ins that come with it as well, and it's kind of integrated with that. But there's also then this thing called plugins, and some browsers make more of a separation between plugins and add-ons. Firefox doesn't really separate the plugins versus the add-ons too much. But the main difference, if you were going to really define it, excuse me. So I get a little frog out of my throat. The main difference between the two, if you're really going to set a definition on it, is that a plugin allows you to play or to view or to use something that is on the web, whereas an add-on actually contributes to the functionality of the browser. And by that, a plugin then would be, if you're going to a site, as you mentioned with Flash, you would need a Flash plugin
right.
to be able to view the Flash. If you're going to like Adobe Acrobat, Reader, there's a Reader plugin that allows you to go. There's a Windows Media Viewer plugin that would allow you to go in and view that type of content wherever you are on the web. The add-ons are going to do things like I talked about, doing a to-do list or
functions separate from the browser, the purpose of the browser.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Somewhat.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones, we just did a We just did this as a cool side of the week a little while ago. Was Wise Stamp. Wise Stamp is a great add-on, that allows you to put signatures into your web-based email very, very easily, and it's very, very little cool little thing. If you're looking for a whole bunch of Firefox add-ons, just go to addons.mozilla.com. I think it is /Firefox or Firefox. Boy, I should have found that out before I started talking about it, right?
No, why do that, Mike?
Google Firefox add-ons. Google Firefox add-ons or Alta Vista Firefox add-ons, whatever you want to do.
Alta Vista?
I don't know.
Bing. Is Alta Vista still going on? Last time I checked, it was still there.
I think you get
for a while, that was my favorite. Alta Vista was, you know, I mean, when I was into minutiae.
I liked that.
Alta Vista gives you everything.
I kind of liked Ask Jeeves for a little while, too.
Who?
Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves? Oh, yeah. It's just Ask now. They just call it Ask.
Oh, yeah, Ask.com.
Yeah,
and now I don't like it as much. Back when it was Ask Jeeves, I kind of liked it.
Hey, speaking of search engines, I was just talking to Jay this morning about Bing.
And
have you tried Bing much?
Not recently. I occasionally will pop it up, but I keep coming back to Google.
Yeah, it's just not... No wonder Microsoft was trying to buy Yahoo or partner with Yahoo. Bing is not... It's okay, but it doesn't really get, doesn't really get it.
Now, I think they're changing it again, though, now, too. I was going to go check it out, because I heard that they were changing how some of the stuff popped up.
Well, just the other day, I was spending like 20 minutes looking for something, and then I went over to Google and got it the first try,
And that's exactly it, is that, you don't need all the bells and whistles and bings and dings. You just need to get what you need to get,
Hey, it's almost time. Speaking of browsers and such, isn't it?
Gee whiz. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I think you're right. There we go. Dave's kicking himself there or something. I don't know what's happening.
I just pulled my ear off on the headphone. Stomping my feet. It's time to break out a French martini or a...
Yeah.
Or a watermelon teeny?
Something.
You ever have a watermelon teeny?
A watermelon teeny, yeah. No.
Oh, they're very good.
When I go with martinis, I just, you know what? I want vodka and...
you're not a gin martini
and
guy?
Not much else.
Sit back with any kind of martini you'd like and relax and listen to the cool sights of the week.
I like a good gin martini as well, but they got to be made good. They got to be made well and with good gin. Otherwise, they just taste like rubbing alcohol. So... I find that the vodka martini
rubbing alcohol is a lot cheaper,
a little more palatable
than a martini.
Hey, I thought I was going to take us a little off our typical topic line here because it is
we're so rigidly adhered to
the script.
The script.
Since we're
sorry, I missed rehearsal this week, by the way.
I know. We spend hours preparing for these shows. I just want everyone to know.
Agonizing.
It is.
The
it is.
Fights we have over content.
Yeah, just that last line alone took us, what, 45 minutes trying to parse it? And,
you want to be careful. You want the presentation to be artistic. And...
Yeah, but we come out with this great organic sound anyways. It's pretty amazing.
It sounds spontaneous, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
We do a fantastic job on that. So I thought, though, it's Easter, right? It's, well, almost. It's between Passover
here
and Easter.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail. Hippity hoppity, Easter.
The Easter bunny is not really part of Easter.
He's not?
No, he's not. Not
in what universe? What are you, in a geek, in a, like ultra geeks don't believe in the Easter bunny?
The Easter bunny didn't come into play until the 1300s, 1400s, somewhere
really?
Around there. Oh, yeah.
I thought the Easter bunny might have been first, but
it depends.
Pagan symbol of fertility.
That's right. Yeah, it was incorporated in, but the chocolate bunnies and the peeps and the other things like that. Yeah,
don't be disrespecting my peeps.
Don't diss my peeps, man. I'm not even gonna try to sound urban because it's been far too long since I was in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, you spent some time in New York, too, so
I did.
You could probably do that in New York.
I'm all over over the place. I grew up born in New Jersey.
So cool websites. What the hell are they?
So I thought, you know what?
Know.
I've been doing some work on my church. I've been doing some research and reference and stuff like that too. I thought I would throw out.
That's why you're down on the Easter Bunny.
See,
you got a little too much church.
A little too much churching in me this week. I wanted to share with people a couple of sites that I go to that I have found some actually really good, more than just your typical like concordance or typical kind of overview of the words of the Bible. Some stuff if you're looking for in-depth commentary and things.
Cool.
I thought I'd throw
interpretation.
Interpretation.
Application.
All that. Yeah. I've found them very insightful and interesting anyways, and they're not the ones that you typically run across because you can find those pretty easily. These were ones that I hunted down and eventually found.
That sounds cool.
So I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
One that was really good and unfortunately is primarily just on the Book of Mark, but the stuff that he does with the Book of Mark is really, really neat stuff. And of course, Mark being one of the Gospels is also reflective of the other Gospels. So this would be michaelburton.com, and you can go there and you have to hunt around for it, but I'll give you the direct link, michaelburton.com/mark/gmark_index.html, but that'll give you a really interesting insight into the Book of Mark. Another one that's really good is BibleTrack.org. BibleTrack Bible Commentary gives you a ton of really connections to all the books of the Bible, so that was good. Another one as well is, and I'm just flying through these because we're running out of time quick, backtothebible.org.
There you go. That's a little callback.
Is
there a DeLorean on the graphic on the website or no?
We are in kind of a Back to the Future sort of thing. Now that one doesn't have as much direct commentary on it. It's more of a link through to other stuff. The Bible Track one is really good though. Has just a ton of stuff. If I was going to pick one, that would be the one I'd tell people. Then there's another place too, is the Conservapedia. As far out as that might sound,
that's a great name.
It's really
Conservapedia.
Not, it's like a Wikipedia, but there's it's a wiki with a linked information about tons of stuff, not just religious stuff, but if you start hunting down through the Trinity, go from there and you'll wind up learning about St. Thomas of Aquinas, and you'll go through that and you'll wind up peeking into Pascal's Pensée, and things like this, and other apologists, and really good stuff, useful and worthwhile. How about that? Useful.
I think you've just coined.
I like that.
I think you've just coined an amazing abbreviation.
Yes. Man. Yeah. It's what do they call that? A portmanteau.
Yeah.
At any rate, one last one I'm going to leave you with is if you're just looking for a place to be able to read the Bible online, BibleGateway.com is great for.
Those are great resources. I had no idea there was and you would think, of course, there would be something like that, but it never occurred to me to search for that. So that's a great resource for a System of Spirit on this Easter weekend do some reflecting on the spring season.
That's right. Whether you're Christian or not, if you're doing anything with the Bible or even just as a historical research, this is the time of year you start hearing about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the archaeological research that's being done, discovering the things that are going on in the world with it. And
those are valuable words regardless of what you believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So and it was on my mind. We had our church's grand opening was last week, so we were excited about that too.
Yeah.
So at any rate, oh my gosh, John Solaric's going to be upset with us.
If he were on today, he would be.
Oh, he's you're going to miss John today. But don't miss him next week. He's going to have all sorts of extra time because, of course, I will not be around.
There's still great programming following, but John will not be here today.
Yeah, and I'm going to leave you with a little song called Killing Monsters in the Rain, since it's kind of a rainy
day. That's a nice
today.
Easter song, Mike.
It was that I had another song by a band called the Caesars, and I thought it was
that might have been a bit much too.
Exactly. But it's raining, so Killing Monsters in the Rain by Steel Train, a little indie hit going on there, and we'll be back at you next week. Or no, we won't. We'll be back at you in 2 weeks. I don't even know where I am. Yeah, hopefully you find us anyways. Go to techtalk.wrlr.fm. Yeah. Leave us a
download an old podcast.
Because you won't find a new one. Leave us a voicemail and complain, 847-984-0847, or send an email to techtalk@wrlr.fm.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you.
Happy Easter. It's always great being with y'all. So we'll see you in a while.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What a mess we'll make.